morning. It is very nice to be in person with you and on this lovely, albeit sunny day, and in this lovely location here. As you have already heard, this morning is Peace Sunday. Now, a little bit of background on the International Day of Peace. 40 years ago, 1981, in the middle of the Cold War, in the middle of civil wars in Guatemala and El Salvador and Nicaragua and in Lebanon and Angola and Ethiopia, and with war between Iran and Iraq, in the middle of all that, in 1981, the United Nations unanimously decided to declare that September 21 would be the International Day of Peace that year and going forward. Now, the idea was that on that day, people would be encouraged to commit themselves to work for peace, and also, ideally, that there would be a global ceasefire, that all of those conflicts I named, and unfortunately others that I didn't, that they would all pause for a day. Now, the ceasefire part of it did not end up happening on that year, or sadly, on any year since that I'm aware of. But a number of churches and denominations have kept a commitment to the International Day of Peace, and Mennonite World Conference, as you heard from Bobby, is one of those. And they declared a number of years ago that each year they would consider the Sunday closest to September 21 as the Peace Sunday for the year, and they encourage congregations to observe that as well. Now, as you heard this morning, the theme for this year's materials are finding hope and healing in crisis. Let's begin with prayer. God of the wind and the waves, God of the storm and of the calm, we come before you this morning. We humbly ask for your Spirit to lead us and guide us. In your name we pray. Amen. In college, I spent a summer out in Colorado as part of a program to explore pastoral ministry. And one of my assignments that summer was to shadow the camp pastor at Rocky Mountain Mennonite Camp. Now, I don't know if any of you have been out there. I'm guessing some of you probably have. And if you have, you know that it's just a beautiful location. It's nestled there in the Rocky Mountains right beside Pikes Peak. And in fact, the camp tradition, at least at that time, maybe still, I don't know, was to wrap up camp by making a hike up to the summit of Pikes Peak. And since I was considered staff for the week, I was to join in this hike. Well, we started off, the weather was lovely, perhaps not so unlike today, sunny and warm. But as we got closer to the top, as so often happens when mountains are involved, a storm unexpectedly and rather dramatically started to move in. And you know how that starts, right? The wind starts to pick up, you start to hear some rumbles of thunder. Well, some of the campers, of course, weren't so used to hiking mountains. I wasn't really either, to be frank. And these campers had gotten tired and started to lag behind. And I was one of the staff who was asked to stay near the end of the group to help make sure that everybody got to the top safely. But the longer our end of the group stayed on this mountain, the worse the weather became, and there was no place at all to take refuge. One lightning strike was so close that the metal rod of another staff member's backpack started to vibrate and sing. Not a good sign. Somehow, gratefully and by God's grace, our group of stragglers all managed to make it safely up to the top of the mountain, to that little building some of you have probably been to at the top of Pikes Peak. I don't think I've ever been so glad to see shelter in my life. In our scripture text today, the disciples find themselves in a storm like that. Storms can come up quickly on the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if any of you have been there, but it's a very low-lying lake. It's actually the lowest freshwater lake in the world. And so the air temperature near the lake is warmer, and it's surrounded by hills, and you could even call them mountains, although they're not steep mountains. But up at the higher elevation, you have cooler temperatures, and that combination can lead to sudden and severe storms on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, at least one other occasion in the Gospels, we hear about a sudden storm arising, and that's the story where Jesus walks on the water towards the disciples. Now, we don't know in our text today if all 12 of the disciples were necessarily in the boat with Jesus, but at least 4 of those disciples were experienced fishermen, so if they were really scared in a storm, it must have been a pretty severe one. Now, storms can be a rather appropriate image for our lives, right? Sometimes we are caught in literal storms, like the one that I was caught in on Pike's Peak. Or perhaps you've been in a bad windstorm or tornado or blizzard that might come to mind. We can also, of course, have figurative storms in our lives, and those can be just as terrifying as the literal ones. I don't know what storm you might be going through this morning. Perhaps your health or the health of someone you love may be failing. Perhaps your marriage is in crisis or your finances are falling apart. Maybe you're grieving the loss of someone that you care about. Maybe your son or your daughter is making poor choices. Perhaps your storm is different from all of these and is something that's known only to you. Hear these words from Jesus in the midst of the storm. Peace, be still. Perhaps for you, the storm's been going on for a long time, maybe taking on different forms as it goes. Or maybe you were going along in life, sunshine and fluffy clouds. Suddenly out of nowhere, a storm comes up, kind of like what happened to us on Pike. Maybe your storm is the result of circumstances completely out of your control. Or maybe it's even a storm of your own making. We can create them sometimes, right? I know I can, at least. Maybe for you, the storm comes when you feel the weight of the world around you as you look at the news, as you see the injustices all around us. And maybe experience some of them yourself. No matter what kind of storm, no matter the circumstances, when you're caught up in a storm, it can feel pretty overwhelming, like you're drowning. If that is you, hear these words of Jesus to the wind and the waves. Peace, be still. Recently, a documentary movie came out. It looked at the lives of several families around the world during the global COVID-19 pandemic. It's called The Year of the Everlasting Storm. Now, I haven't seen the movie. I have no idea if it's any good, but I thought the title itself seemed rather appropriate as a description for the last year and a half. It has felt like an everlasting storm, hasn't it? Feels like it won't let up, or if it does slightly, then it just comes right back. Maybe, like Jim Slabaugh said last week, you too have personal and pandemic fatigue. If that is you, hear these words from Jesus. Peace, be still. Maybe you feel like the disciples in our story today. Here they are in the midst of this terrifying storm, and where is Jesus? Sleeping! Sleeping! They angrily wake him up and say, "Don't you even care about us? Don't you care if we drown?" The text could even be translated as an accusation and not a question. You don't even care that we're dying. Wendy Miller says behind the disciples' reaction here is fear, and not just fear of drowning, but fear that God is distant and not attending to their needs. It's bad enough to be suffering, but to have Jesus sleep right through it, to feel that God is somehow indifferent to what we're going through. It's the fear that we hear expressed in so many of the Hebrew laments. Psalm 13 is one of them. How long, Lord, will you forget us forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Are you even listening, God? Are you even there? If that is you, hear these words from Jesus. Peace, be still. You know, all day long, Jesus has been teaching the crowds, explaining things to his disciples, telling them all these parables to help them understand what the kingdom of God is like. And now here is the test. They're in the middle of the lake, their boats taking on water. And what did all those crazy things Jesus was talking about with seeds and lamps in the kingdom mean anyway? We need help now, Jesus. And in the midst of all that fear and anxiety and stress, Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves and says, "Be still." And then he turns the questions to the disciples. "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And the teacher in him must have thought, "Haven't you been listening to anything I've been trying to teach you?" The disciples, that probably seemed a little harsh. I mean, they're experienced fishermen. They're out in the boat. It's taking on water. They're scared for their lives. And in the midst of all that, Jesus says, "Peace, be still." Stop trying to explain everything. Stop trying to control everything, because you see, it's only God, who is Lord of the sea, who can control the wind and the waves, the chaos around us, and bring order to it. Stop trying to be God. For a little while, just stop and be. Psalm 37 tells us, "Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for God." Peace. Be still. Know that I am God, and you don't have to be. There's a word pattern in the Greek here that gets lost in the English translations. Mark tells us the storm was a great storm. And then Mark says there was a great calm when Jesus says, "Peace, be still," to the chaos and the wind and the waves. And then, Mark says, the disciples feared a great fear. They were filled with this great big sense of awe as they started to put the pieces together in their minds. The disciples' fear of the storm has been replaced by this absolute sense of awe as they slowly realize they are in the very presence of God. Who is this, they say, mumbling to themselves? Only God can control the weather. You see, what the disciples realized is that in the midst of their great storm, God is present there with them. And that's indeed good news for us today. No matter how great your storm is, how great your fear or anxiety or stress, no matter how long it's been going on, God is present with us and can replace all of that with a great calm. "Peace, be still," Jesus says. You know, often We like to think we can go through life without storms. We can cross over that Sea of Galilee and go on our merry way with the sunshine and the light breeze. And we have those moments in life. But God never promises there won't be storms, that we won't be battered by the wind sometimes, that we won't feel beaten up and worn down. What God does promise is that no matter how great the storm, Jesus is there in the boat with you as the winds batter you and the water starts to come in. Even when we don't recognize Jesus, when we think he's just sleeping on a cushion in the stern, it turns out he's been wide awake and with us the whole time. Jesus is extending his hand, inviting us to release our fear, inviting us to trust him, not just in the sunny times, but in the stormy times too. Peace, be still. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, we read, "Don't be anxious about anything." And I'll add, whatever storm you might be facing. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Don't be afraid to cry out, "Help, I'm drowning here." And then it says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that great calm, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And when this happens, we step back and realize that our only response can be awe. Peace, be still. I'd like to invite Kian and Logan now to hand out pens and slips of paper to you, and as Keith plays in the background, I invite you to take some time to pause. Think back on storms that you've experienced in the past and that are now over. How was God present with you in the boat? How did your church community help you hold on in the midst of the storm? What are the storms that you've experienced that are now over, and where was God present in that? And now I invite you to reflect on whatever storms you might be currently experiencing. It could be something personal to you. It could be a storm in the world around us. I invite you to write a word representing that storm on one of the blue waves that you've received, and to come up front and to place it on the sea up here. What storm are you facing right now?